Good afternoon, Juno. Pat Moore, your host here for Juno Afternoon. It's about 3 o'clock, about 2 seconds before, and you're in tune with KTOO News. I'll have guests from Flipsoids on today, the director and a couple of the actors in this production performance that's coming up, and also some folks from the travel fair that's going to be held Saturday in the Nugget Mall, the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, the guest artists at the Folk Festival will join me, and Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Weather looks like increasing clouds, isolated showers in this afternoon, but they'll be mainly south of Juneau. The high's around 59. Variable winds, 10 miles per hour tonight. Mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers. Lows around 36. Southeast wind, or northeast winds, 10 miles per hour.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The first case of a deer found in the ceded territory of northern Wisconsin with the deadly chronic wasting disease has tribes getting involved in the investigation. Mike Simonson has more.
The sick deer was found last fall near Shell Lake. Department of Natural Resources Land Administrator Kurt Thiede says since it's in the Lake Superior Tribal Ceded Territory, the DNR met with the Tribal Voight Task Force just days after this month's announcement.
Just open the dialogue as far as how we can work together with the tribes moving forward here in our surveillance plan and then how we're going to be potentially managing this disease.
Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Director Jim Zorn says many tribal members hunt deer for food.
Yes. First concern there would be human health and the purity of the meat, if you will, for human consumption. Secondly, what you need to look at is the sustainability of the deer herd. You know, species can be wiped out by diseases.
So far, that isn't happening with the CWD herd in south-central Wisconsin, but Zorn says a quicker testing system is needed so they don't have to wait months for results. He says tribes will help provide deer for testing. He hopes that'll explain how this disease jumped 100 miles to the north.
You know, that is the interesting question. How did this deer pop up so far north from that southern population? You know, one would have thought that with all the sampling and surveillance that had been underway, one might have seen a deer down south, a deer a little farther north, or, you know, farther away from that circle. That certainly causes people to speculate as to where it came from.
In fact, 1,100 deer in the far northern counties were tested for CWD as recently as 2008-09 with no CWD found. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson in Superior, Wisconsin.
Federal officials announced Wednesday a $1 billion settlement of lawsuits by 41 tribes against the United States. The tribes allege the federal government has mismanaged monetary assets and natural resources held in trust. The announcement followed nearly 2 years of negotiations. The settlement will resolve claims dating back more than 100 years. According to the Associated Press, more than 100 tribal governments filed suit after the historic Indian Trust lawsuit, which brought a similar claim on behalf of thousands of individual Indians over the government's mismanagement of trust lands. After more than a decade-long fight, the government settled that case for more than $3 billion. A South Dakota tribe claims an illegally built road has harmed the quality of a popular fishing lake. According to the Associated Press, the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate tribe is suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It wants the road removed and the enemy swim lake restored. According to court documents, the lake is considered one of the state's most pristine lakes with walleye, bluegill, and bass. The tribe says a local farmer has been allowed to build a road across the lake's inlet, which has allowed sediment to seep into the lake. But a state official doesn't believe the road has damaged the lake. The Army Corps of Engineers is seeking to dismiss the lawsuit. On this day in 1937, actor and activist Dennis Banks was born on the Leech Lake Reservation in Minnesota. Banks is a co-founder of the American Indian Movement in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's organized and led walks across the nation to address Native American issues like the epidemic of diabetes in Indian country. A 75th birthday celebration, including activist Russell Means and comedian Charlie Hill, is taking place Friday at Leech Lake. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Humboldt State University, part of the California State University System, offering a part-time, three-and-a-half-year online Master of Social Work program, emphasizing work in rural and indigenous communities. A new semester begins January of 2013. Applications will be accepted in August. Learn more at humboldt.edu/socialwork. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes after three. You're in tune with KTOO News. Let's run that weather forecast by just real quickly one more time, because the weather has been scrumptious for the last few days here. We got increasing clouds coming on this afternoon. It looks like that should lead to some isolated showers later in the afternoon, but they're going to be mainly south of Juneau, so they probably won't hit much of the valley. Highs around 59. Variable winds will stay around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll see some isolated rain showers throughout the area. The lows will drop down to around 36, so above freezing tonight. That's the first time that's happened for in this spate of warm weather. Friday, looking at mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, highs 52 to 57, light winds. Another lovely day, huh? And then Friday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 36, light winds. And Saturday through the weekend, looks like it's going to cloud up. We're probably going to see some rain, but it isn't until Saturday night that they say we have a chance of rain, which means it's a little more than it has been. So lots of opportunities to get out, enjoy the sun. And we have guests in Juneau who are enjoying a great deal of it.
Yes.
With me in the studio are Fiorella Lagundino, who is not a guest, who is not an out-of-towner, and Marisa Marquez, who is a part of the cast of a play that's that is in production here in Juneau right now called Flipzoids. Mm-hmm. Fiorella, tell me about the play.
Well, the play is about three Filipino immigrants. One, a 20-something kid who's kind of lived here since he was 6 years old. Marissa's playing a woman by the name of Vanjie, mm-hmm. who has come over as a nurse and is working in the hospital system. And then she has, as many other Filipinos who have come here, she helps her mother immigrant to the United States. And a lot of her relationship with her mother is about how her mother really, she's nearing the end of her life and being displaced at that time of her life. She feels really disconnected to her homeland.
Marissa, you're from New York,
yeah.
And you were telling me before the play that you actually were, you had a friend who played in this same play in mm-hmm. New York in the opening. Well, you're from California now, but
yeah
anyway. So.
Well, actually, I live in New York now, but I was born and raised in California, and now being in New York City, it's really nice to have opportunities to travel out, and I've never been to Juneau before, and it is one of the most beautiful places I have ever been in my entire life.
We were all assuring Marissa before the mics opened up that this is typical weather for Juneau.
It happens all the time.
It's like it's all the time.
Yeah.
I keep telling people I'm the one who brought the weather, and someone at the gym said, well, then you can't leave.
Exactly.
So you're not getting out of here now, right?
Flipzoids will be playing all year long.
For the rest of the show. Speaking of when Flipzoids is playing, when is Flipzoids playing?
Flipzoids, we have preview tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, and then Saturday and Sunday at 7:30 as well. 3 weekends, so the 12th to today to the 29th. And the last day, the 29th, we have a matinee. But every other performance, Thursday through Sunday, is at 7:30 p.m. And tickets you can get at Juneau Arts and Humanities Council website or at Hearthside Books. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a three-week run. We're happy to be here doing this in Juneau. We decided, it's when I've talked to a bunch of people about this show, about producing it, and
I
was interested in doing a play about the Filipino population. As the first play I did here in Juneau was The Long Season at Perseverance Theater, I thought that this would be a great show to bring here. And I showed it to a couple people, and they're like, wow, we should definitely do this. And so that's why we're doing it, is because I feel like a couple of the actors really wanted to do it. The Filipino Community Incorporated. They were very interested in helping to co-produce the production. I felt that it was a good thing to do, so please come out and check it out.
Is the title like a slang word, or is that just a made-up title for the play? Or how's that, where's that flip phrase come from?
You know, flip is actually...
I understand
very,
flip. Yeah,
it's a very derogatory term. But
right.
Flipsword, it's a kind of just a made-up word that he made up. It's just like a person who is a flip.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to say I was really amazed when I was approached, and I didn't know when I auditioned where it was going to take place. And Flora told me, it's going to be taking place in Juneau, Alaska. That's where we're doing the show. And I'm like, why are you, is there a large Filipino population in Juneau, Alaska? And I've been blown away by how large the community is here. And it is very impressive. And it's wonderful to know. And it's and also how supportive of the arts people are here in Juneau. So that combination is kind of a perfect place to do this play, because it's very theatrical and it's very universal. And at the same time, it supports a community that doesn't usually get to see themselves on stage, and I think that was really important and why Flordolino chose the play.
Yeah, also, speaking of stage, you didn't mention which of Juno's fabulous collection of stages you're playing on.
There are many stages. Please go to the one that we're playing at.
Where is that?
It's at McPheeters Hall.
Which
is downtown Juneau on Gold Street. I think it's 325 Gold Street is what it is, but downtown, so it's very easy to find. And please, come out and check it out.
Okay. So, and it'll be running starting with a preview tonight, and then we're looking at 3 weeks.
Three weekends.
Okay. You're going to be staying with us that whole length of time?
I am. I've been here enjoying 3 weeks before, and my host family, Jan and Jeff, took me to ski, so I've learned how to ski while I've been out here,
really?
Too.
So you went up to, that's the cool thing about this, is we have this fabulous weather down here, and then you go up 3,000 or 2,000 feet, and we have a world-class ski slope going on up there. Well, I hope you get a chance to get around to the rest of the area. There's much more for you to see in the Juneau area while you're here. So, and we'll have a chance to see you. How big is the cast?
It's three people. Marissa obviously is in it. Junior Davidson, you may have seen him in Animals Out of Paper recently, at Perseverance Theater, and Richie Adan, who is a fabulous performer from New York City, but just recently moved, and she's helping out with Juno Dance Unlimited. She's teaching there. She I don't know if you saw Thunder Mountain Thunder Mountain High School's production of Grease, but she did the choreography for that. She's doing the choreography.
And Kiss Me, Kate.
She's the choreographer for that, and then also Bigfoot at. Perseverance, she's doing the choreography for that. But she's a great performer. She has some wonderful monologues. And, we talked a little bit before, but this definitely is a show, I think, that everybody in the community would be interested in seeing. It's really about finding your place in this world. Who am I? How do I fit in to our society? And, sometimes in the United States, not just Filipinos, but other people of all cultures have difficulty finding a place in the society. And it's about that struggle of being a country full of immigrants and making sense of what it means to be here.
Yeah.
It took... you've got Generator Theater Company.
That's correct.
And you've also got a couple of, there's like a couple of melded organizations here, like a lot of your recent productions have been, right? You've got other groups that contributed to
This one, it's kind of co-production with the Filipino Community Incorporated, the downtown community hall and organization that's down there. And they've been very gracious in partnering with us. We held our rehearsals down there. That was fun. Mm-hmm. We've been rehearsing, and there'd be bingo going on downstairs. And, we get to share it with a hula.
Did they give you any complimentary cards to play
while
you're...
No, unfortunately. That's unfortunate. But, but it's been great and having them be a part of this production.
Yeah. I've noticed, in particularly with you, you seem to have a delight in kind of bringing together whole bunches of different things. The thing you did this last winter with the symphony. Part of your gift, I think, is getting this diverse artistic community that has impressed Marissa to come together in production and use their mutual talents to
put the thing
together.
I really feel like, as myself, I want to be challenged in many ways as an artist, and being part of the community, I want to... you know, bring about as many different kinds of performances to the community as possible. So I've been blessed, you know, Juno Symphony came and approached me about that. I was really blessed to be a part of that. And Animals Out of Paper at Perseverance Theater. And I just did a workshop there at Perseverance Theater as well of Ishmael Hope's play. It's just been, I've been really blessed to be a part of this place, and I'm looking forward to doing more in the future.
Marissa, I guess a last question for you. Is there a piece of Banji's take on the world that you could leave us with?
I think her take is very much, how can I be American? And I think her realization that just because she came to America, she's not automatically American. I think that immigrant struggle to fit in is so important to this show, and I think all immigrants, even myself, even though I'm firstborn generation, to understand how my parents struggled to fit in, to become American and earn their place is important to my history and the history of all people who live in America.
Outstanding. Thank you. So the play is Flipzoids. It opens in preview tonight, and there will be 3 weeks, so buy tickets around town. Go see it.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thanks for coming down and telling us about it.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 12th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of the writer John Krakauer, born in Brookline, Massachusetts, 1954. Raised in Oregon, where he took up mountain climbing, worked as a carpenter, worked as a commercial salmon fisherman to support his climbing habit, and after he'd done 3 climbs up in Alaska, he was asked to write an article about it, and he did, and that got him into magazine writing. In 1993, he got an assignment from Outside Magazine to write about a young man who'd graduated from college, changed his name, left his family, his savings behind, and walked into the Alaskan wilderness to make a new life out there, and perished 4 months later. And that became his first book, Into the Wild. It became a bestseller in 1996 and was later made into a movie. The year that book was published, Krakauer was assigned by Outside to climb Mount Everest and write an article about the commercialization of climbing. But a blizzard struck during the climb, and 8 of the 23 people in the group died. Krakauer kept detailed notes. He reached the summit, sleep-deprived, oxygen-deprived, came back, wrote an article about it, and then a book called Into Thin Air. Gustave Flaubert's first novel, Madame Bovary, was published on this day, 1857, about a woman who takes on multiple affairs to stave off the boredom of her empty existence. The novel caught the attention of the authorities, and Flaubert was charged with corrupting public morals. He was acquitted, and the publicity from the trial made the book a bestseller. It's the birthday of Gary Soto, born in Fresno, California, 1952, the son of Mexican-American factory workers, had an abusive, alcoholic stepfather. The boy picked up a poem entitled Unwanted, a poem by Edward Field when he was 19. And it spoke to him, and he decided to write poetry. Soto started keeping a journal, took a creative writing class, published his first book when he was 25, called The Elements of San Joaquin, a collection of poems about his father and factory workers like him, which got him a professorship at Berkeley. Last year, he published his first e-book, a young adult novel called When Dad Came Back. Here's a poem by Jane Kenyon entitled Thinking of Madame Bovary. The first hot April day, the granite step was warm. Flies droned in the grass. When a car went past, they rose in unison, then dropped back down. I saw that a yellow crocus bud had pierced a dead oak leaf, then opened wide. How strong its appetite for the luxury of the sun. everyone longs for love's tense joys and red delights. And then I spied an ant dragging a ragged disembodied wing up the warm brick walk. It must have been the Methodist in me that leaned forward, preceded by my shadow, to put a twig just where the ant was struggling with its own desire. Thinking of Madame Bovary by Jane Kenyon from Otherwise, New and Selected Poems, published by Grey Wolf Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vedder, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Someone in your home gifted in the art of verbal persuasion? Has Providence smiled on them and gifted them with a silver tongue that causes rational people to believe what is patently false? Then don't hide the liar in your family. Let their light shine for all to see at the second annual Liars and Fiddlers Concert at the Alaska State Museum on Saturday, the 14th of April, from 1 to 3. Lie once, lie bold, and while the fiddler fiddles, let the tale be told.
We had the Liars and Fiddlers Concert folks here on the show on Tuesday, and so it looks like to be a fairly good turnout, I hope, at the museum, the annual reconstruction of early days in Juneau, and the folks who told the story the way they wanted it to be, as some of us do today. The fish gets larger as it leaves the boat, I notice. Well, we have guests in the studio now who are telling us about some opportunities for us to both go to a fair and volunteer, and these are folks from the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau. With me are Valerie Kelton and Kelly Moore. Hi.
Hi, hello. Paul. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So what's this fair about, Valerie?
So this is our 10th annual Juneau Travel Fair. We have about 29 vendors that will be at the Nugget Mall this weekend from 10 to 2. And you can come on out and learn what there is to do with your visiting friends and family and what you can take advantage of yourself. There's so many opportunities, great opportunities for entertainment here in Juneau, and we'd like to share those with the residents.
So folks are going to be setting up tables down through the main stretch through the Nugget Mall.
Yes.
Okay, so like who's going to be out there? Who would I walk up and find out information from?
Well, like I said, there's about 29 vendors. The Mount Roberts Tramway will be there. Lost in Alaska Adventures, which is a whale watching and sport fishing charter captain. There's Glacier Gardens Rainforest Adventure. They do a tour through the garden. Taku Travel is a local travel agent who can help you plan excursions for your visiting friends and family, or help you plan a trip out of Juneau if you like. Cycle Alaska, they do bicycle rentals and bike tours. Wings Airways, Taku Glacier Lodge, the Gustavus Visitors Association will be on hand. They're one of our neighbors here, and you have to come through Juneau to get to Gustavus, so we like to support our neighbors as well. Above and Beyond Alaska and Alaska Powder Descents will be on hand. So they do kayaking tours, and Alaska Powder Descents does heli skiing, so you might even be able to get in some late season heli skiing or get ready for next year. It's a couple of different zip line companies, Alaska Zip Line Adventures and Alaska Canopy Adventures. If you've never gone zip lining before, it is super fun, so I recommend that for everybody to try. So do you want me to go through the whole list?
Well, perhaps not the entire list, because no one will remember all 29 vendors, and we have to leave some surprises. But all of the vendors that you named now are commercial firms.
Correct.
And they have their employees who are there to take care of things with the tourists and like that. But Kelly is here because JCVB, the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau, has a volunteer situation or a volunteer need for volunteers. If all of the business is being conducted by these commercial outfits, what do the volunteers do?
Well, our volunteer staff are visitor centers. We have four visitor centers. We have one at the ferry terminal, the airport, the Marine Park kiosk, and then we will staff our new cruise ship terminal that is being built right now. And they work three-hour shifts from 8 to 5, and then 7 days a week. And what they do is they greet visitors who come to Juneau on cruise ships, independent travelers, people who arrive on the ferry. We have very often we'll have locals come to one of our visitor centers to get information for family members that are visiting, and our volunteers provide information about our members. We have rack cards. We'll have phone numbers, contact information. If you're interested in a whale watching trip and you don't know who to contact, our volunteers are informed on that. If you need to know if you're at the airport, where do you catch a cab? Our volunteers are there to help you find transportation. So they staff all of our visitor centers so that when people come here, they have a way to get information on what to do here.
How many people volunteer for this?
I have right now almost 140 volunteers, and I'm looking to get at least another 20. We really like to keep our visitor centers fully staffed, particularly at the airport and the cruise ship terminal.
And the volunteers receive pats on the back and smiles and the thrill of being a volunteer helping.
Well, it's a wonderful way to give back to the community. It's a great, fun way to give back to the community because it's, when someone comes to Juneau, they're so excited to be here. They're so excited to say, how do I get to the glacier? I want to go whale watching. I want to go skiing on this mountain. How do I do this zip lining thing? And they're so, you get so thrilled by their thrill, and you get to share that information. So there's just this intrinsic, wonderful feeling of helping somebody. But they also get to participate in some of the things that our members provide in what we call familiarization tours, and they get to experience things. A lot of our members are very gracious to allow our volunteers to participate in their tours. And then they also, we do an appreciation event for them throughout the year. And then I personally like to thank them. You know, I appreciate everything that our community does by providing these volunteers and people stepping up and saying, yeah, I'm proud of where I live. I love where I live, and I can't wait to talk about where I live because I live in the coolest place on earth, and Juneau is.
So, Kelly, how would someone who feels motivated to do that, how would they contact you and how would they go about volunteering?
It's very easy to get a hold of me. You can contact me.
You're going to be set up at the fair?
I will. I actually have, I will have, thank you for asking. I will have recruitment packets at the JCVB table at the travel fair. I will also be on hand there. We have a training going on for our volunteers, our first one of the season, called Tours and Attractions, where the volunteers will meet 29 or so of our members, and they will each come and talk to our volunteers about what they do. And then you can reach me at the offices. My direct line is 523-3732, or you can always email me at kelly.moore@traveljuneau.com.
And you're right now you're looking for approximately 20 more volunteers to go to the training.
But I, you know, it's
not going to turn anybody away, right?
No, we'll find a place for you.
Yeah, okay. And how long is the time of volunteering? Is it from first cruise ship to last cruise ship?
Generally, it's the first week of May through the last week of September. I also staff the volunteer or the visitor center at the airport year round. So that's a different kind of experience because we don't have so many tourists and visitors coming to take advantage of the summer activities as we do locals, but also family members of locals, and then legislators and people who are traveling here for the session during the winter.
How long have you been doing this?
Me, personally? Yeah. Actually, yesterday was my first full year with JCVB.
Oh, really?
But I've been managing volunteers for most of my life.
Have you ever heard back from any of your volunteers a really weird thing that they were asked or a really strange thing that odd thing that they had to do?
You know, some of the things that we get asked are really fun because a lot of people are not from the United States, and so they don't know that Alaska is. So they will ask us, do you take American money? Uh-huh. My personal favorites are when they say, oh, how far above sea level are we?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends is a sport fishing captain, and he said that one of the most interesting questions he was asked was, is there water all the way around Admiralty Island? Which was interesting. And, you know, I think about those kinds of questions, and we locals laugh, but we have to really understand that people come from different parts of the country and the world where there may not be large bodies of water. So they might live in a landlocked state.
So you have special training sessions in keeping a straight face during the
response. I do. We laugh and we share, but we also remember we go to other places and ask funny questions too.
Yeah.
When you're on vacation, I think your brain kind of goes on vacation also.
You're there to have fun.
That's the good part of a exactly. vacation is letting your brain kind of go on vacation. I do that for an hour each week here, or 2 hours each week here on the radio station. Works for me.
I'm glad we could be a part of that.
So, Valerie, what time does the vast JCVB travel fair open up at the Nugget Mall?
From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Nugget Mall.
And
yes.
There's no fee or anything like that?
No fee. It's free. Come on in. There'll be door prizes. A lot of the vendors will have door prizes and ask about resident specials so you can get discounts on their trips for being a resident. And it's also a great time to ask if they're offering any early booking specials, because a lot of times they're trying to fill up their schedule for the summer, and they'd love to share their product with you as a local and come check it out.
Well, outstanding. Thank you, ladies, for coming down. I hope you find your 20 or more volunteers this weekend, and I hope you have a good turnout for the thing.
Great. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much for having us.
I must from Point Barren through a blizzard of snow, been out prospecting for 2 years or so. Pulled into Fairbanks, the city was a boom, so I took a little stroll to the Red Dog Saloon. As I walked in the door, the music was clear, the prettiest voice I had heard in 2 years. The song she was singing made a man's blood run cold. When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below.
It was red-headed Lil who was singing so sweet. I reached down and took the snow packs off my feet. I reached for the gal who was singing the tune. We did the Eskimo hop all around the saloon. With a caribou crawl and a grizzly bear hug, we did our dance on a coast. The song she kept singing made a man's blood run cold. When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below. I was as innocent as I could be. I didn't know Lil was Bighead's wife-to-be. He took out his knife and he gave it a throw. When it's springtime in Alaska, I'll be 6 feet below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, you'll be 6 feet below.
So now I have this situation where I have a studio full. Let me tell you who's here this way.
Pacific shore, from the queen of flowing mountains to the south hills by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome, known quite well by all. She's a combination on Wabash Cannonball. She came down from Birmingham one cold December day.
Well, there's a classic song, and we got a classic group with us. These are the guest artists at the Folk Festival this year, the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. Welcome, guys.
Howdy do.
Now, I got an army of you. Each one of you step up to the mic and tell us your name here.
Leroy Troy.
And Leroy, you play the...
five-string banjo and the scrub board, and that's it today.
Okay. And do a little singing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're the tenor. You're the tenor up on top, right?
Up the call in request already.
Request line.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's somebody trying to make a donation.
Yeah.
We'll take that too.
Okay. And who's next? Who's next?
Mike Webb.
Hi, Mike, and you're the.
I'm the dobro player.
Okay.
All right.
So I noticed you guys were kind enough to actually include the trademark in your on your webpage of dobro. That's,
absolutely.
Most people think that's the name of the thing, but it's really a guy's name.
Dopiro brothers.
Yeah. Anyway, and back here.
I'm Shad Cobb. Okay. I'm going to play the fiddle today.
So Shad, you're standing in for Dan Kelly, is that?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Shoes to fill on that.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's quite a fiddle player. Okay, Ernie Sykes here.
I'm Ernie Sykes, yeah, but I already told him that. I sing and play the bass.
Okay, good. All right. And over in the corner?
Mike Armistead. I play guitar.
All right. And?
I'm Lester Armistead. I play the jug. Doing the singing.
Oh, that's right. You're the one who steps forward and picks up the high end on the vocals. Yeah, you guys really take over the stage when you're performing. I think I saw a cut of you on YouTube that was done on Kelly's show or something like that.
And you
do a lot of dancing around when you're out there on the stage.
Depends on the night.
Yeah.
Depends on the joke.
And what was in it, right?
There you go.
Yeah, was somebody, in it being the operative phrase.
Yeah. So, where are you guys from?
Nashville, Tennessee, originally.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Goodlettsville, and I'm Leroy, by the way.
Okay, I got that. So Goodlettsville is, can you locate it on a map for me?
Yes.
So we got some sense of it?
It's north of Nashville, Tennessee, about
16 miles.
16 miles.
Yep.
Lester's got it down.
Uh-huh. So almost up there on the Kentucky border?
Yeah, not too
far. Yeah.
Okay.
We're about 25 miles from the Kentucky border.
Right. I lived in Bowling Green for about 3 years, so I know the area.
Yeah, that's where we go buy our beer.
Yeah, maybe up north 100 miles to barbecue up there
on the
northern border of Kentucky. Yeah. Anyway, so how did it come about that you guys got picked to be the guest artists at the Folk Fest?
Greg called us up. He said he felt like we'd be a good fit up here, and... And that's it, really. Pretty much just Greg.
Yeah. And you're doing two gigs that I know of. You're tonight at 8 o'clock, and then you got the big closeout gig at
Sunday, I think.
Sunday night
at
9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll take the show out, and we'll put up the bleachers. You guys know you have to fold up all of the chairs.
We're used to that.
Okay.
We usually set them up, too.
Yeah.
You usually fold up a person or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's us.
That's been known to happen at the Folk Fest as well. So any of you been to Juno before?
First time, I think, for everybody.
For everybody, yeah. I wanted to let you know that this weather is this typical, you know. It's just like this all the time. This never is different. So this is.
Well, it's great. It's beautiful.
We are a temperate rainforest, so if you come back, don't expect that we're going to lay out this kind of carpet for you the next time. And it's supposed to change out this weekend. Saturday we're supposed to start getting rain, so
right.
So you'll probably see some of our major production operations. Here, so what? How would besides really good? How would you characterize the kind of music you guys are into?
Oh, it's I guess you'd call it hill country.
Okay.
Mountain music.
Yeah. Hillbilly.
That kind of music has been part of America's heritage for a long time, but there was a period of time when it was kind of like people who were going into the hill country and recording this stuff with pretty primitive recording instruments, and not everybody knew that kind of music was out there. So did you guys go back to those sources to find the sound? Or?
That's a little more primitive and pre what we're talking about. What we're talking about is more like Roy Acuff and the Smoky Mountain Boys.
That's really where you grew out.
Bit more refined than just what those guys did in the 50s, going out into the woods and finding people to play music in the mountains.
Okay.
This is more of a group thing.
Yeah, and the Acuff was a big part of you putting this thing together. Is that?
He was definitely the template.
Yeah.
Acuff had a jug band also, so we copied.
Right, right. So who's the washboard player? You play the washboard. Now, yep. What all's hooked on that thing?
Oh, it's got bells and whistles and
rooster
cymbals, and we just added a rooster to it.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't crow too good, but it sounds good. Yeah, cowbell.
Uh-huh.
What else?
All kind of horns.
Siren whistle.
Yeah.
Bell.
Yeah, wood block. And
on your website, your billed as being the guy who times those particular things to be played in. You're sort of the arranger when each of those sounds is selected.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's the only one.
You
gotta
read your website, man. It's got some funny stuff on it.
Yeah, I know it.
Anyway, so you're the one who actually decides. They don't say, okay, we need a cowbell here.
No,
I do call for a cowbell every once in a while. I say,
yeah,
I gotta have a cowbell.
He sure does.
More
uh-huh.
cowbell.
Yeah.
You doing any workshops as part of the thing?
We're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I think each of us are. Mm-hmm. Ain't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're doing a complete jug band history,
uh-huh.
and a workshop, and Ernie's doing a bass and.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shad, I think's doing a fiddle, and Mike's doing a dobro. Leroy's doing Hawaiian style dobro.
Oh. And Leroy, you're doing a.
Yeah, banjo workshop, I think at 3 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And.
He got out of it.
He got out of it? Okay. Not sticking one in
there. Again, the jug was empty.
Okay. All right. But you got to have him in there because he's basically the rhythm section, right, besides the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we couldn't do it without Lester.
Yeah. Yeah. It couldn't be a jug band without that.
No.
That's true. The vocal style that you guys use, is there's a melody voice, and then there's the add a tenor on top of it that gives it that really distinctive kind of hillbilly ring to it. Who's that tenor voice?
That's Lester.
That's Lester.
Right. Did you even Foghorn to the man?
Yeah. Did you? Were you born with that, or did you?
I guess I don't know
what happened in the war.
Hey guys, it's a family show now. Anyway, no, my question is basically: did you have to kind of work to find that harmony, or was it just from having heard it most of your life, or?
Just out hollering a lot, you know. Just
yeah.
Calling the cows.
I think a straight answer might be
well,
a problem for you.
Mike Webb brought that. I was around a lot of good tenor singers. Bashful uh-huh. Brother Oswald, and I loved Ira Leuven's singing. So, anyway.
Yeah. You guys blend it just perfectly.
Well,
I mean,
thank you. I appreciate you
really
saying that.
It's really a sweet sound when you put it together. It's
thanks
just like,
a lot.
Like, you know, absolutely right where it's supposed to be. Say what now?
Listen, you tell a sweet lie.
Yeah, on the website it says he's the guy who sits back there and makes the comments from the back, I think.
Oh,
and,
no.
Well, that's basically.
That was Fergie.
Yeah, that's yeah. Fergie. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Anyway, so you're filling in for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Who runs the band? Anybody?
Who runs things?
Yeah. Who runs?
Who's? All of us, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Troy and the founding members is Lester and Leroy and me, and then Dan Kelly. And then, so I guess as far as business side of it goes, it'd be us four, you know.
But we're so thrilled to have Ernie Sykes and Mike Webb. They've added so much to it. You got to hear... I've been calling Ernie the Frank Sinatra of country music, and he's a crooner. You'll get to hear him.
Yeah.
And then Mike Webb does a great job with the dobro, and he's a great singer also. And Mike, by the way, has Bashful Brother Oswald's dobro, so
yeah,
that adds
I read
a lot
that.
To it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a classic instrument.
This is the best the jug band's ever sounded,
really?
I think.
How long?
I think.
When did you guys start?
Since 97.
97. So you've been at this for a while, but now you got the power and the glory here with this bunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were all friends, too, before we've come.
Yeah.
For years.
Oh, yeah.
Even
Shad was friends with us.
Before this gig, he was a friend. Before you hauled him off to Juneau, Alaska, right?
Yeah.
We took him to the Faroe Islands last year.
Yeah. We haul him off everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your violin and your fiddle playing. Where'd you get started?
Step up the mic.
Oh, get started? Yeah. My dad was a fiddler, so.
Okay. And so he said, here, kid.
Yeah, I just used to hear him playing some.
Yeah.
So.
And it's, you have to pull the you have to be there all the time, but then when they kind of wave you up to the microphone, you got to come up with something that really says the name of the song, right?
Yeah, try to.
Yeah.
That's called the melody.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. You are in a jazz group, right? Yeah. Okay. Is your fiddle famous? I mean, you playing a Strat up there?
Not that I know of.
No, it doesn't have this dobro character.
No.
Okay.
Fiddle's not. Chad is.
His fiddle actually has some hit records on its own.
Yeah, it does.
Chad owned it.
Yeah.
Chad's
played
with a little everybody.
Oh, yeah?
He's a big session player.
Give me a clue. Who?
Oh, nope. Yeah.
he don't like to drop names.
Oh, okay. All right.
Paul McCartney told him he shouldn't drop names.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. Okay, well, we're going to close out this thing with another cut off of your CD, your newest CD, and we'll tell everybody once again that you're on at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
That's a short set, probably about a 15 or 20-minute set.
No, I think it's 45.
45, yeah. The guest artist always gets a triple slot. Yeah, and you guys will no problem filling that up. And then the big one is Sunday night, 9 o'clock, to the close of the show and singing on the stage and closing the place down.
That's right.
Well, thanks for coming up from
Redlands. And our CD is called Screams from the Holler.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got three or four of them. I got two others here. There's a one called Barnyard Frolic, and there's one called Poor Leroy's. So,
and they're all good.
Yeah. And they're all good, and they're all for sale, I imagine. We had the guy who runs that booth here on the show yesterday.
Heck of a party.
Yeah. Let's play it.
Now, I'm just a simple guy, but there's one thing sure shooting. I hate them folks who think that they're so dead blame highfalutin. I'd be the same in Hollywood, or right in my own kitchen. I believe in cursing when I'm mad, scratching when I'm itching. I'm a plain old country boy, a cornbread-loving country boy. I raise cane on Saturday night, but I go to church on Sunday. I'm a plain old country boy, a tater-eating country boy. I'll be looking over that old gray mule when the sun comes up on Monday. They never were too good. We didn't have much money, but we done the best we could. Mom doctored me from youngin'hood on Epsom salt and iodine. Made my diapers out of both these sacks, suspenders out of plow line. I'm a plain old country boy, a cornbread loving country boy. I raise cane on Saturday night, but I go to church on Sunday. I'm a plain old country boy, a tater-eating country boy. I'll be looking over that old gray mule when the sun comes up on Monday. We always had fried chicken. If I reached for a drumstick, I was sure to get a licking. But Mom always saved two parts for me, but I had to shut my mouth. It was a gizzard at the north end of a chicken flying south.
Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, guest artists at the Folk Fest. Get on over there. Folk Fest's all free. Just basically do a membership. That helps everybody pay for it. And it's a wonderful ongoing thing. People in 15-minute segments, and you can hear it on stream tonight or on the air on 102.7. We broadcast it starting at 7 o'clock, and we go right up until the last artist steps off the stage. It's 10 minutes, just almost 10 minutes to 4, and Nancy DeCherney, as every Thursday, is here with us to tell us about what is going on the arts scene in Juneau. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, good to see you today.
Yeah.
We have a lot to cover, and I want to start right out with something that I didn't know about that I will forget otherwise. Tonight at 4:30, Folk Fest starts downstairs in the TV studio, I think it is. I don't remember the name of the musicians, but the seating is limited, and if you're interested in attending, you can call 586-1212, ask for Jeff, and reserve a seat. That's free, of course, because everything for Folk Festival is free, of course. The concerts are beginning at 7 p.m. The dances also begin at 7. Tonight at the dance, we have Oompa Band, Famille, Flacon de Neige, Bevels and Church, Eel House, that's all free, Flipsoids. This is Flortolino Logging.
Just had them on in the last half hour.
However, let's say
real quick, they're doing their preview tonight at 7:30.
It's a pay-as-you-can.
Yeah, pay-as-you-can, and they're here for 3 weekends with Flipsides.
Right. Yep. So don't miss that. Coffee and Jam tomorrow morning, bright and early at 9 o'clock, and they'll be dancing and jamming and whatnot all day long till about 3 o'clock. There's a book reading and book signing with the Alaska Writer Laureate Peggy Shoemaker. She's with Nicole Stellan O'Donnell and Amber Flora Thomas. They're out at the UAS bookstore at noon at 11, and there'll be a light lunch. It's 586-6113. If you
wonderful
need more
lady
info.
Peggy had her on the show about 2 months,
a month and a half, two months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Also at noon, there's another book signing, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Thomas Thornton, he wrote Our Grandparents' Names on the Land, and he will be signing this new book over at the Sealaska Plaza Library at our lobby at noon. Looks like a really interesting book to have. There's a teenage hip-hop class at 4 o'clock over at the Canvas. The membership meeting for the Alaska Folk Festival is at 5 o'clock on Friday night at the Jack. And this is your opportunity to get involved with this really great event. Be sure to come if you can. They have food and all sorts of stuff. It's the Juneau Douglas High School 25th Annual. Amazing. Showtime. This is where the Juneau Douglas High School dance team and the dads will put on their show. They do it Friday and Saturday night. It's $10. It's in the gym at the JDHS. Also at 7 o'clock out at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, it's the Alaskapella a cappella group. That's free. And the dances at 7 o'clock at the Jack are with the JDHS Funk Machine, Faye Dudu, Bob Family Band, and Kari and the Wrist Rockets, and Fire and McGinnis. Should be a great lineup for dancing.
Which night is that?
That's Friday night.
Friday night, okay.
Yep. And then when you're not tired out or anything like that, you can go on over to the Rendezvous, where at 8 o'clock is Caress a Starfish, and at 10 o'clock, the Chuck Hughes Band. I think there's just music all over town. There's music tonight at the Alaskan Bar and at the Rendezvous. Rendezvous at 9 o'clock has Rumblefish, and the Alaskan Bar has Sean Tracy with special guests, who include, I think, some of the Barefoot folks. So head over there, 9 o'clock. Okay, we're back to Friday. Now we're on to Saturday, 9 o'clock in the morning, because you weren't up all night, or you can just go up there as you are. It's the Splash and Dash, or the Dash and Splash, and the Slush Cup and all that fun stuff up at Eagle Crest. With this kind of weather, I guess it really will be.
It'll be the Slush Cup.
Also, at 9 o'clock, it's the Heart of Hospice fundraiser run. It's a 5K. You start out at the Twin Lakes shelters there. This benefits hospice and home care. You can register at the Nugget Alaskan, the Alaska Club, and Pavitt Fitness Center, and they do suggest that you register ahead of time. 9:30, it's frokost, which is a Norwegian breakfast offered by the Sons of Norway. I think it kind of goes all day, or at least until 1 or 2 or something like that. There is the 10th annual Juneau Travel Fair out at the Nugget Mall.
They were here just moments ago to tell us all about that one. Yeah.
I'll be out there myself. There's also Lemonade Day is coming up in May. It's time to get registered for that. And if you're curious about that, call the Southeast Conference at 523-3454. At noon, the concerts begin on Saturday. At 1 o'clock, it's the second annual Liars and Fiddlers concert over at the Alaska State Museum. Also free, And I understand it was a lot of fun last year, so looking forward to it.
We had them on the show Tuesday, and they were explaining to us how exactly this works. A frightening event.
Knowing some of the people involved, I think it would be a delight. So head on over there at 1 o'clock. At 3:30, there is a Noodle of Doom drum jam at Bee's Bakery and Bistro on 2nd Street. At 6 p.m., Ratfish Wrangler's Musical Science Hour. This is part of Folk Festival. It's at the Jack. It's free. There's also the Saturday Night Swing at the Rookery, I believe, at 6 o'clock. Dan Hobson will be playing classical guitar. If you've just had it up to here with Folk Festival, you can go over to the Gold Room and listen to classical guitar. At 7 o'clock, as I mentioned, the JDHS dance team again on Saturday. And the dances over at the Jack start at 7 with Whiskey Boat, High Lonesome Sound, Elbow Grease, Swing Dogs, and Susu and the Prophets. As well, you can go see Flipsoids. It's also at 9 p.m. Juno City Limits out at the Sandbar. I mean, there's stuff happening everywhere. At 10 p.m. at the Rendezvous, they have Raisin Holy Hell. So, well, we've made it to Sunday. There's another book signing. Mary Albanese is doing
it. Wait, all that was Saturday?
Well,
all that was just Saturday?
Well, no, there was
Thursday. This town is insane.
Well, they should all go to the thing at 1 o'clock then, probably. Yeah. Mary Albanese will be doing a book signing out at Hearthside Books in the Mall. That's at 1 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock, there's Words from the World, an exchange student program at the downtown library. It's a potluck, I suspect maybe desserts or something. It's an opportunity to learn about exchange programs and talk to exchange students. And let's see, at 10 p.m., there's the Folk Festival stuff, I think, kind of winding up. And you know, if you're interested in the schedule, if you didn't get the one out of the paper, it's online. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Alaska Folk Festival. At 10 p.m., Sean Tracy and Trouble are at the Rendezvous Bar. We have on Tuesday, Alaska Coastal Rainforest Symposium begins, and it's out at it's at Centennial Hall, and it runs for the week. Again, I would suggest going online to get the information about this. All sorts of very informative discussions and activities related to the rainforest. We have over at the Jack Clink, our wine tasting, which is a fundraiser to benefit the building. It's being offered by Specialty Imports. They're bringing in over 30-some-odd different wines from around. Let's see, I think there's Chile and Argentina and New Zealand and Spain and Italy and California and Washington, and there's just all kinds of them. I think I've got it listed on our website, but I encourage people to get their tickets and come to that. It's $30 or $50 if you come as a pair. Tom Loker, Wayne Norland, and Clay Good will be offering music, and the refreshments are by Abby's Kitchen. And that, I think we might have made it through.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And what time was that last event started?
That starts at 5 o'clock on Tuesday and runs till 7.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Tom. Oh, I'm breathless.
What
a run.
Yeah, what a run. And I should mention that something that's starting up now is a Juno Cribbage Club. It meets on Mondays at the Senior Center downtown. So.
Well, 15-2, 15-4, and a pair for 6.
It's good for your math skills.
Yes. Okay.
So thank you.
Gee, what can I say?
Do we have time to talk?
For just about that long.
Oh.
So ignoring the events for just a moment, what does the Jack need at the moment? If anyone wanted to say, oh, I need to give back to the Jack.
Oh, you know,
what
we could use
need?
Plates. Right now we need some plates.
Really?
But, yeah, you never know. I mean, different things come and go. The Jack is doing really, really well. We're going to be looking for people to help us with the lawns. You know, what we really need is all the Mini Cooper car people to call me up. Because we're going to have
a mini show?
Going to have a mini show, but I need a lot of little cars.
All right. Cool. Well, if you have a mini, call Nancy.
586-2787.
Outstanding. Nancy, thank you so much for bringing us up to date here.
Thanks.
Oh, Well, tomorrow on Juno Afternoon, you'll hear a segment on remembrance of the Titanic, starting things off. We'll meet Tony Mates, guest dance caller for the 38th Annual Alaska Folk Festival. Mary Albanese will be here to tell us about her new book. She's having a book signing in town, as we mentioned. And Jeff will be back as your host. You're listening to KTOO News, and we are broadcasting on 104.7 FM. On 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau. We're also on a set of translators throughout the area. K276 AF is on 103.1 in the Valley in Auk Bay. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, it's K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus is on K201 AM at 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9 in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. KTOO is on K210 AS, 89.9 megahertz. In Juneau, you can also receive us on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN, our sister station, is on digital channel 872, beginning to stream the Folk Fest tonight at 7 o'clock. And KXLL can be found on 873. We're also online at ktoo.org.